the Approaching the Natural podcast with Sid Garza Hillman. Sid is the author of Approaching the Natural, a health manifesto, a certified nutritionist, health coach, and programs director at the Stanford Inns Wellness Center on the Mendocino coast of California.
Hello, small steppers. Sid Garza Hillman here with my weekly podcast, this show that you are listening to at the moment. I come here every week. I've been doing it for now 169 weeks and have no plans to stop. And here's why. Because I think I have touched upon a certain segment of the population of the earth. And by certain segment, I mean to say probably most people that are having a hard time dealing with the struggles of the modern world, with the stress of just everyday life, not to mention the additional stress that happens from time to time. But there's a baseline of high-level stress, I'll put it that way. And how do we negotiate that better? And we want it over, and we want it fast, and we want to, you know, minimize that stress as quickly as we can. And so the market said, oh, that's awesome. Why don't we convince them that we can deliver that with no effort at all, just magically? And we eat that up because it sounds amazing, and it does sound amazing. It just doesn't actually work. And here I am talking about something that's not super popular, and I'll be very frank about that. But the fact of the matter is, true change is a long-term process. And instead of me coming on here and being one of the many voices that goes, just do this and do that, and in 21 days and this and that and this diet and that diet, I go, there's going to be struggle here, guys, and I want to help you shuttle. I'm going to help shuttle you through the process, the transition period. Which in a way never ends in a way, because it is a practice that we're developing via being small steppers. It's a practice. And it's as a practice, like yoga, it doesn't end. It is learning how to live your life better. It is learning how to negotiate the world better. It's learning how to embrace an ethic of self-care, of putting yourself first, not only, but first. I'm not saying because you care for yourself first, you can't care about other people. It's saying, appeal to your natural design, which is one of self-care. And I believe that to be true. I think that mentally and physically, we're designed to take care of number one. When we deny that, we lose. We lose because the sheer force of our design, of our millions of years of evolution, takes us down. It will win that battle. If we go, I can outsmart you by putting pills in you, the body goes, yeah, okay. Just wait. And it's a long-term process. So how do we do that? How do we do better? How do we live better if we want to? If you don't want to live better and you're happy as you are, then that's fantastic. But if you want to make little tweaks, and most people do, not in every way, not everyone's walking around miserable. This podcast and my practice is for both people who want to make huge shifts, because maybe their health and happiness has gone on decline for far too long and they're done. And they're just like, I'm done. I want change and I want it fast. And that's massive. But for other people who are generally living well, they just want tweaks. And that's a small steppers process too. And I would say I fall into the latter. I'm just a pretty much a healthy, happy person with the same struggles that most people have in the modern world, which is ones of stress and ones of fear and insecurities and all those kinds of things. It's not to say because most of the time you feel pretty good and are generally happy that you just have no problems. It doesn't happen. It just doesn't. It's too weird of a world for that to happen. I am suspect of anybody who tries to pull off that they just got nothing wrong. Everything is fine. I think that's probably not the case, but I'm not going to spend too much time thinking about that. I'm just going to more devote time to myself and people who are honest enough to look and authentic enough to say, yeah, I'm doing pretty well here, but there's always tweaks. I think we have to maintain any success we've even achieved. It's not like you can get to a certain point where you nail it and you're feeling good and then you just go on autopilot. It doesn't work. It's a constant state of engagement. Living well in the modern world, it means you are engaged more than you're not engaged. It means that you are making choices more than you are reacting. It means that you are taking care of yourself more than you are being a victim, or at least that mentality. And that is what this podcast is dedicated to. I mean, that's why I come here every week and revisit and revisit themes and subjects and have discussions and interviews like I'm going to have next week. I'm bringing a guest on And it's why I do that, because I know for many, this is a check-in reminder kind of based podcast. And maybe they've heard some of the things before. Don't care, because it needs, it's part of the constant maintenance necessity of living well in the modern world. You can't phone it in. If you phone it in, you lose, because the marketplace will go, okay, that guy's phoning it in, let's sell him something. And instead, if you're engaged and you are paying attention, you're less susceptible to being ripped off, essentially, or to, you know, going to the drugs or the light box food to get by in a world that is pretty nutty nut nut. So welcome one and all. Woo! That was all before I even said welcome. You're welcome. This is a solutions-based podcast. Okay, I mean, just first and foremost, just boom, I'm going to give you, you know, I talk about the state of the world, sure, but it's also to provide actual solutions via my unique brand of small steps. And so I talk about how to get on top of this most of the time, right, you guys? Okay. If you are just joining me, Sid Garza Hillman is my name. Just Google me, you'll find me in all sorts of areas. The Health Made Simple meal plan is something I co-created with Matt Frazier, the No Meat Athlete, and it is a meal plan system. If you, I am a certified nutritionist. If you're interested in food and how to tackle that part of your life, just go to Health Made Simple and get that done. It's amazing. It works great. We've been getting great feedback. NoMeatAthlete.com/meal-plan-system. And it teaches you how to eventually use our plan to eventually, sorry, twice eventually, to use our plan to eventually not need a plan and not think about food as much. So that when you think about food, it's by choice and for fun and all those kinds of things. It takes you through the whole thing. Videos, a lot of literature and posts and obviously, you know, like over 85 recipes. Like it's a whole thing. Five different plans. It's pretty cool. And plus live Q&As and health casts by Matt and me. Pretty cool, right? Okay. But this podcast is actually brought to you by you guys. I thank you now every week because it's awesome. Donations, iTunes reviews, Amazon reviews of my book, Approaching the Natural Health Manifesto. There are all ways that you can show support. Why would you show support? Because maybe you like what I say here and you go, I'll kick him something because that's kind of cool. And I know it's free, but I'll do it anyway. Or maybe you tell a friend not to do me a favor, but because you think that your friend can benefit. And that's kind of cool, right? That keeps this thing on the so-called air, meaning wires. Tubes, as I heard once. I'm having an espresso. Just wanted you to know that. I run the Wellness Center at the Stanford Inn. It's a true eco-resort on the Mendocino coast of California. And I run their Wellness Center there. I'm the nutritionist there. They've got a couple books out too, Dining at the Ravens and The Art of Play by the owners, Joan and Jeff Stanford. And so that's worth a looking at. SidGarzaHillman.com is my website. You can get Nutty Nut Nut shirts. Just sent a couple out 2 days ago. And organic cotton recycled polyester, and they're great, and get those. And there's also other stuff like mugs and bracelets and a signed copy of my books and all those kinds of things. Okay? Of the social media world, my favorites, Strava. Love Strava. On top of that, Instagram. On top of that, definitely YouTube. Okay? The other ones, I kind of spit on them. No offense, but you know, talking about inundated. Okay? I want content. 140 characters. It's down. Okay. Just I like putting my energy into videos and photos and just more connection there. Okay. It's just. Okay. What else? Super quick announcements. In addition, which is that I'll be in Marshall, Texas, from March 31st to April 2nd. But I also just got word on Friday, this is almost final, so I'll go ahead and throw it out there, but I'll be in Arizona at the Arizona Veg Food Fest, January 28th and 29th in Scottsdale, Arizona. That's AZ, as in Arizona, azvegfoodfest.com. They haven't even announced me. They just emailed me on Friday, said they wanted me to come speak. It looks like I'm available, and so that is a good chance of that happening. Okay, so just kind of keep your eyes and ears open about that. If you live in Arizona, well, then Jiminy Christmas. I mean, you might want to come by and say hello for crying out loud. Okay, I don't know if you've been getting the cards I've been sending you, but it's about time you pay me a visit. Okay. Posted a video this morning on a Sunday. It's just random. So when I was doing two videos a week, I was doing, you know, Monday posting, Thursday posting, once I started my book, it's just all bets are off now. Once I started my book, it's like I'll post when I do a video, and that's just what it is. And I know it's not technically the smartest thing because of subscriberships. I hope that you subscribe to my channel and tell people to subscribe to my channel. It would be great. I try to focus on putting the best content I can out there, and I just don't have the time and energy and patience to deal with the optimal times to post something, because to me it's a waste of very precious time in my life right now that I need to write a book. So I don't go like, I wonder if Sunday is the optimal time to post. I go, video's done, posting it, so I don't have to think about when I have to post it. See how I did that? Sacrificing the potential for more subscribers? Possibly. Not sacrificing the quality of my life? 100%. Dig? Okay. My journaling step, still trucking along, missing a few days here and there, but I'm looking as a small stepper. I'm going most of the time. My most of the time is still journaling. It's one sentence per day. I have not raised that step, you guys. If you're just joining me, you can listen to another, like last week or the week before's episodes. I'm at one sentence a day, and that's kind of where I'm at right now. A few times I've written more, but not enough to make me raise the step. So I'm sticking with one sentence a day at this point. And it is my most of the time, so success. If it weren't, I'd lower it to one word or whatever it frickin' takes. I will say that the struggle of, you might ask yourself, why even most of the time? Like, why, if it's one sentence a day, why would you miss even a single day? And you may not even ask that question, but I will tell you that if you are embarking upon your own small steps practice, you're going to ask yourself that frickin' question. You're going to set a step so small that it just, why wouldn't you? And it's so small, and you just cannot believe that you can't pull that off every day. And you miss a day, and you're like, how did I, once 30 seconds, I can't pull off 30 seconds? It's, guys, don't overthink it. You know why it's hard? Because it's new. It's hard because it's new, and it's up against your what I call your wall of behaviors, which is 15,000 other things that you do every day without thinking about it, because it got to the point where you were doing them for so many years that you don't think about it. Introducing anything new is new, and it means you have to pay attention in areas that you don't want to pay attention, like driving to work and working and doing all the things that we do of making food and shopping for food, all these things that we kind of don't think about too much because we basically know what to do. We look down at our shopping list and we get the stuff in the cart and we go home. It's kind of doesn't take a lot of energy. The fact that I have one sentence on my journal is it doesn't because it's one sentence doesn't mean therefore it should be super easy for me. It's still stress. Try to get that across, you guys. No matter what step you add into your life, it's stress. No matter what size step you add, it's stress because it's a part of your brain that is doing something new. It hasn't shuffled it over to the area of walking where you don't have to think consciously left foot and then wait, which right? Oh yeah, right foot and then wait, oh wait, left foot. You walk and you do other 10 other things while you're walking because you know how to walk. It's done. How do you get to the point where any new behavior becomes part of your life? Well, you set it super duper slow. Then you embark upon the more important aspect, which is the alarms on your phone, leaving a note on your mirror or your toothbrush. I put the journal in my pocket, so when I take my pants off at the end of the day, I see it sticking out. That's often the time that I'll go, oh, crap, that's right. The oh, crap, that's right part of this process is independent of the size of the step. You, no matter how small your step is, you could still forget. And that's why I have had many a client whose first step of the day is to text me, which takes 3 seconds, and they'll forget. 3 seconds. 3 seconds. That's because you know why? It's hard to remember to do something brand new when you're up against your behaviors and you're just waking up in the morning, so you're groggy, you haven't had your coffee yet, you're tired, and then you're like, ah, crap, I didn't text the 3 seconds of time that you totally have. But it's not about that. It's about the lead up to the actual step. And that's the focus in the beginning. That's why, one of the reasons why I advocate starting out as such with such a small step is because on top of all the energy it takes to just do something new, you then don't want to go, okay, oh yes, I reminded myself to go for a run. Oh man, it's a 2-hour run. That was my first step on my list. That would be just like stress on top of stress. Instead, you leave yourself an alarm to run and you see it go off and you go, okay, oh, and my running is for 1 minute. Woo, thank goodness. No, low stress transaction completed. And therefore, the next day, it's easier. The next day, you're not dreading it. The next day, you do it again. And when you do it again and again and again, guess what you learn? That you have power and strength to effect change. And that's just the impetus and momentum you need to continue building that change, to continue increasing that change, to continue evolving as a human being and making your life better. How amazing is that? All from one sentence of journaling. That is the beauty of this small steps process, you guys. It is in the beginning, I've said it before, not about the step. Who gives a crap about the one sentence or the one word? It's not about that. It's about teaching yourself how to bring in a new thing. It could be a million different things. Just how do you do it? How do you do anything new? That's what we're up against. And the world just assumes that's just no problem for anybody. That's why the diet market is huge. That's why diet books sell a ton, because there's this like assumption that, oh, if I'm going to give you new information, of course you can implement it. Of course you can. That's why I filled my book with 1,000 recipes and diets and shopping lists and recipes and days and what to do on day 7, because I know that you have no problem implementing change. That's a given. That's dialed in. So I'm going to just flood you with information, because the last thing that you need to worry about is how to actually affect long-term change. So I'm going to flood you with this amount of information. Lo and behold, you fail, even though technically you never were to do that in the first place. So you come at it a different way and you don't take on so much. And you might buy that diet book and you might read that diet book and you might learn something from that diet book, but you're not going to jump in just because it's written in the back of the book, usually over half of the book dedicated to shopping lists and what to do on day 4. You're not going to jump all the way in on that stuff because you're in charge, you're free, you're strong, you're tough. And you go, good information, good learning. Okay, let me try that recipe out. Maybe I can do 1 day a week of this thing. I'll just choose one random day of this diet just to see, just to learn that I can do it. And also just to, you know, maybe experience some new recipes. That's fun for me. I enjoy that. But boy, I'm not going to dive in on a 21-day diet, because that's just a massive amount of stuff. And I struggle with implementation. And if I'm going to do something, I want to make it last. I want to actually learn how to do it better, how to do the thing of changing my life better. And if I just force my way through a diet, that I didn't learn how to do that. I just faked it for 21 days. And then I went back to the old me, or the not me, as I might say. The most recent YouTube video I posted, by the way, I forgot to mention, is Oh, the Games I Play. And that's sort of leading into my book update, which is actually got some writing done in the book last week, finally. And it has been a struggle for me, by the way. I am distracted right now. My brain, I'm literally like writing and then on Facebook, writing and then on Twitter. And I don't know if you guys know Doug Hay. He co-hosts the No Meat Athlete Radio, but he has his own podcast too, which is Trail Talk. And when he found out about what I was doing with regard to my race, that hopefully you guys listened to the last week's episode and saw the video on it, he invited me to come on his podcast. So we recorded it last Wednesday. I'm not sure when it's going to post. He has a baby coming, which is exciting. And literally any day. So if that happens, then obviously he's going to delay the posting of the podcast episode. But it was really fun and a great interview. And Doug's, you know, he's become a buddy of mine. So it was really, really fun to hang out with him. But the whole thing about the book was that he was asking me about it. And I said, yeah, I'm just having the hardest time. I'm like getting distracted and just I write. And then all of a sudden I'm lying on YouTube, and then I write, and then I'm on Twitter. And he goes, oh, do you have Stay Focused? And I was like, what's Stay Focused? And he's like, oh, it's a plugin for Google Chrome. Now, many of you might be thinking that I'm doing an ad right now. I'm not. I'm not paid by them. I'm not sponsored by them. There's no sponsorship. There's no money. I'm just sharing a super cool thing that I came across, as I'm often inclined to do. So I'm doing that here. I just Googled Stay Focused on Google Chrome, and I know they have different versions for different web browsers. But this is the coolest thing. It so was timely. Like, I'm going to buy Doug like a hat. That's how thankful I am. But the plugin, you can set which websites you aren't allowed to visit at certain times of the day and certain days of the week. Not only that, when you sit down to write, or when I sit down to write, I can go like two buttons and I can do what they call like the nuclear option, which is it shuts down all websites for however much time I want. So I'll do like an hour. And it's amazing how, just talk about wall of behaviors, like I'll write a little bit and then I'll just, without even thinking, like I'm not even conscious, like, oh, I'll pop over to Facebook and, you know, see if I got a message or something. And so what comes up on your screen is it says, shouldn't you be getting work done? Or shouldn't you be working? I love that because it's like kind of comedic. It's just like, shouldn't you be working? And it's like, yes, I should be working. Thank you. Stay focused. Anyway, I donated a few bucks to the guy because I just think it's such a great idea. Totally necessary for me because I don't know why, but it's at the end of the day. And it's hard to write a book when you have a full-time job. And so I'm doing this after hours. And so I'm sort of in that place where it's nice to sort of have a little bit of mindless, you know, endeavors, like watching some YouTube videos or, you know, going on Facebook or whatever. And this has been keeping me focused. And again, I'm not doing it for 8 hours straight, but if I can just get like a solid hour in, it's amazing. So anyway, it's called Stay Focused. And I told the guy I was going to mention on the podcast. He's really nice. And I kicked him. This is like the worst sponsorship ad ever because I paid him. I donated 10 bucks to his plugin. So that's how bad of a business person I am. You want to sponsor my podcast? I'll pay you. There you go. Okay. Moving on, you guys. So I talk a lot about knowledge in this podcast. Why? Because if you're just joining me or if you've been here before, I'll put it that way, you know kind of how I feel, which is that and this is a touchy subject because research is ongoing and it's necessary and we're curious and it's amazing, but you guys know how I feel. Like, to live healthy and happy, we need to know about 1/1000th of what we know about everything. We don't need to know most of what we know. And it's not to say we shouldn't know that stuff. It's great. But it can easily get in the way of our living our lives the way that we want to live our lives. And nutrition is a perfect example of that, where so many people know a ton of nutrition, but we're not getting healthier as a species. In fact, I just read 2 days ago that our lifespan has gone down in the United States for the first time in many, many years. Most major diseases are on the rise. Is it because we don't know how to take care of ourselves? Is it because we don't know how to eat well? Is it because we don't know how to exercise well? No, we do. We generally do. And we can definitely get a few pointers from the wild kingdom where they're not bogged down with knowledge and taking notes every 5 seconds and they're living their lives. We don't live our lives. We figure out knowledge and more knowledge so that we can eventually live our lives, but we kind of never live our lives. Knowledge has become its own drug in a way. It's the drug of knowledge. And we have to know how to not be an alcoholic per se and be somebody who has a glass of wine now and then. Different models, both including alcohol, by the way, but one is an imbalance. And one is more balance, depending on how that fits in your life. Are you somebody who wants to learn new things and that's great and it's curious, but you have other things going on in your life and you know how to sort of balance that knowledge out? Or are you somebody who is so entrenched in learning that you are not living your life? It's not fun for you. It's just that you feel like you have to know more, like you have to have another drink. Where is that knowledge for you? I taught a really good class today, really nice couple, local, very cool people, super nice. And, you know, it was a perfect example. Like, they knew, I shifted the class super fast. Usually it's a nutrition, healthy living class. And I make a point right away to talk about, you know, the place where I think food has and to help people think less about food and all that kind of stuff. I realized in the first 5 minutes that they knew plenty about nutrition. I mean, plenty. They've done a ton of stuff and taken classes. And it was like, I told them straight up, I was like, I can't offer you anything that's going to be helpful to you in terms of nutrition. But what I knew that I could offer them was a way out of having to learn more about nutrition, because it is absolutely not necessary. And the issues that they were having had nothing to do with them not eating a healthy diet. It was beyond food. And in the way that our bodies process food and the way that stress affects digestion. It was that whole picture, not about the acid-alkaline balance. You know what I'm saying? So ultimately, what they wanted to know was how to implement. The knowledge they were craving wasn't nutritional knowledge. Seemed like it was to them, but it's not. Quickly wasn't. They were like, yeah. And the weight comes off the shoulders, the muscle tension kind of calm. Okay, all right. And then they know. And that's, you know, again, why I come here every week, because it rarely is about food at all. Like most people who, if you have a weight problem, if you're looking down and you're overweight, is it really because, especially if you've listened to this podcast before or read the first chapter of my book, which you get for free by going to my website, is it really because you don't know enough about food? And there's no judgment here. It's just acknowledge. I mean, yeah, I know enough about food. That's not the thing here. It's how do I implement the change? How do I implement change? That's it. That's 99% of the ball. Yes, 99% of the ball game. Not just the ball, the actual game of the ball. 99% of that is how to act and make the actual change. But we get so sucked into, maybe because we don't want to make the change ultimately, like if it comes to food, we just like the idea of changing the food that we love is just too stressful. And so we sort of couch our inaction in, I don't know enough yet. I got to learn more. I'm not there yet. I'm not ready to make a change yet because I have to know more about vitamin D because I have to know how many international units. I have to know that before I can actually make a change that will make my life so much better and make myself so much happier. But I'm not there yet. I gotta learn more. I gotta learn more. What do small steppers know? Huh? What do? We act. Small steppers actually act. And we might want to still know stuff, but we're not waiting to act just to know. We know and act at the same time sometimes. We're making action and gaining knowledge, but we're not putting action on hold. Action's first and foremost. If you want to know a ton about nutrition, you know already that fresh fruits and vegetables are good for you. So for now, before you learn all you need to know about nutrition, start with eating a little more fruits and vegetables. Add a little step of putting some raw stuff on your plate for dinner. You can do that starting tonight and still do all the knowledge gathering that you want over the next year. But you know a basic enough about information, enough information to make a certain change in terms of your own health and happiness. You know it. I know it. Let's act and let's feel powerful in the knowledge that we do. How cool is that? That's how you gain the self-esteem and the self-confidence that I talk about, is by action, only by action. I can't deliver you health and happiness by telling you you're great. You see it through action. I talked about it last week, being in somethingness. You know, finishing that race, doing that thing, showing up to that starting line with fear and not knowing and just being completely just hanging out to dry was confidence building, frankly. I was like, I can't believe I pulled out. It was kind of amazing. Again, I didn't win the race. Don't care. It's not what's it about. I showed up not knowing a bunch of stuff with no plan, but with a certain confidence in my heart that said, no matter what happens, I think I'm going to be okay here. Even if I have to fail technically and quit the race, I'm going to be okay because I've done the groundwork. I have implemented change. And that makes the adventure of life a little bit easier. Right? Okay. One thing I wanted to mention before I get into the nitty-gritty of this week's episode, and actually it's two things. So before I get to the second thing, one is the Wim Hof update. I am now officially in week 10. I spent all last week post-race not running and doing the Wim Hof thing. I'm done with week 9. I'm into week 10 and about to finish that up. It's time to wrap that up. I definitely think it was a good thing. I'm going to continue for sure with the cold therapy and the breathing. I said in the outset that I wasn't going to recommend it until I was basically finished or about finished. I do recommend it. It's not without its flaws in terms of it just being a sheer program. Like week 10 is like a video of Wim Hof just going, hey, good work. And here's a video of us climbing a mountain. Like it's not, it leaves a lot to be desired in terms of like, and this week you do this, it sort of falls off toward the end. So just so you know, going in, it's been amazing for me. I do credit a lot of my success of my ultra marathon last week to the breathing technique and the cold therapy. Again, the things like the sleeping have been just way better quality of sleep. I mean, like unparalleled. I'm definitely addicted in a good way to the cold therapy. And so, you know, just throwing it out there. I do think this week, given the running thing, I'm very happy to be done with the race and just loved taking a week off from running. I'm going to run with Bree this week, so I'm back in it. The good news is 2 days, 3 days after the race, I could have run just easily. I didn't because I thought, let me just get ahead of this week Wim Hof thing and, you know, just wanted a break. And so I did that, and that's how that worked out. So all things being equal, it was a overall really, really good thing. I had a little moment this week in the house with Lisa and the kids, and we were talking about how they're going to potentially have memories of their youth and possibly, oh, I don't know, going, so my dad would do all these, like, he would get into a cold shower, and then he was doing these, like, weird breathing things, and then he would try this shake, and that, and then I remembered a yoga instructor that I had in Los Angeles who just one day just let us know that he had drank his own pee, his own urine, and I think he described it as, like, the first time he had tried a martini. I'm not even kidding. Like, that was his... He was like, yeah, it's kind of like drinking a martini for the first time. And at the time I was like, yeah, except for one thing, it's not at all like drinking a martini for the first time. Other than that, totally, I agree with you, but it's just not at all. And we realized that that would probably be the tipping point. Like if I decided at some point in the near future that I just read some just German program where you drink your urine, and I'm like, yeah, I'll give that a try because I love adventure and trying new things, that my kids would probably be like, yeah, it was at the point that he drank his own urine that we realized that we no longer wanted to be a part of the Garza Hillman family. We could sort of handle the cold therapy and the breathing, but man, it was the drink and the pee. We remembered that and the therapy that we needed after that happened. But no, I'm not yet. I'll just put it on. I'm open. Hey, look, you know what? I did an episode once that was like, what's on your table? Everything's on the table. I'm not saying that I'm never going to drink my own urine. I can't say, I don't know. I'm 48. I've got years potentially ahead of me. And maybe I can extend those years by drinking my own urine. I don't know. If I find out that that's true, I'm going to give it a shot. Who here feels like a martini? All right. The last thing I wanted to mention before I get into the subject of this week's episode, I'm going to dive into a little of the spiritual. A little of the spiritual, man. If I had a gong, you would hear it right now. Dong. But here's what I mean by the spiritual stuff. They're touchy subject. There's a contingent, or you've heard this before, that you know, people believe, and I don't have an opinion either way on this, so there's no judgment from me on this in particular, because I don't know. I'm totally gotten better about not knowing. That's a freedom for me. I'm just, I don't know. And until I do, I ain't gonna act on it. But let's just say that we're all one consciousness. You know, like there's not individual people, that we're all part of one big thing. And that may be true and it may not be true. I don't know, but there's people who very, very strongly believe that's true. Like we're all one thing. And while that may be true, here's what's never happened. I've never met somebody who believes that acts that way in the world. It's not, I've never seen somebody who goes, yeah, we're all one. We're all part of one consciousness. It's all just one universe. There's no individual beings. It's all energy. And then walk out their door and just walk through somebody or not deal with somebody because they're technically them. And just, why would I talk to you? I'm talking to myself and it's all one thing. So, you know, they don't act that way. Not one. I've never met one. I've never met one who just sits on a floor and doesn't need food made by somebody else and their laundry done by somebody else. There are mundane realities that I've never seen somebody just be like, yeah, we're all one. It's all not real. It's all an illusion. And it's all just energy. But I also got to get in my car because I got to get to Whole Foods. I got to go buy some freaking free-range grass-fed beef quick because I'm starving. And that's a reality that I think as a small stepper and a small steps coach, which is my freaking job, that I go, you know, whether that is true or not is, and I hate, and this isn't a demeaning way to say this, but it's irrelevant to my practice. That's just a fact. It's not a bad thing. It's not irrelevant in the, you know, capital I irrelevant. It's just irrelevant to what I talk about here every week. It's not that I don't find that interesting or contemplate it. I do. But it's not relevant at all to you getting up tomorrow morning and living a life that is more like the one you want to live than you did yesterday. That's about, regardless of your spiritual ideas and opinions, we got to go to work tomorrow. This podcast is for you guys who go, I got to go to work tomorrow. Like, that's all fun to think about stuff, and it's like, it's mind blowing. And one time I went to a, a meditation retreat and I had a vision but then tonight I'm going to watch the 49ers, you know? And it's like there's that marriage there of like, I've never seen somebody who's supposedly that spiritual who isn't totally of the world at the same time. I'm just sort of like, okay, great for you both. But this podcast, I can't deal with both sides of that issue. I can't deal with the spiritual side of things and coach on that and say, how do you sit down when there's donuts at the office and not partake when you don't want to partake? How do you actually implement change to make that happen? That's my goal here. I mean, that's my focus. That's just what I do, okay? So I just, it's not like I don't have an opinion about that stuff, and sometimes I don't, but even if I do, I ain't gonna share it because it's not relevant. It's not how anybody I know acts. And so I say, instead of trying to act more like that, if we are sort of shaking hands with at least this illusion of reality and going, I don't know if I believe that you're really real, but I'm gonna sort of act like you are, that's where I step in and go, okay, I can help you do that better. That's it. It's not to diminish any kind of spiritual reality you might believe in or religious thing that you have in your mind about, you know, what you believe there to be elsewhere, or you know, it's not visible to the human eye. It's just not relevant to what I do here. I think there's a full necessity for us as humans right now, regardless if we're all one and there's no humans and no earth technically, but all energy, I think there's a full necessity to focus on this world. I think we do better when we focus more on this world, not when we try to escape it, but then still live in it. If you're going to escape, then freaking escape. But don't escape and then expect somebody to make your freaking meal because you live in a monastery and you're too enlightened to cook for yourself. Does that sound harsh? It is, because it drives me a little nutty nut to just be like, I am a spiritual being. Can I borrow that chicken fried steak? Because I don't want to cook. I'm too above that. You should cook because you're of the lower class and you make stuff and I should eat that stuff for free. I'm not going to pay you. Why would I pay you? I'm enlightened. I don't know what got me on that subject. Maybe it's the goji tea that I'm drinking. Mm. Out of a travel mug. Almost, you know what travel mugs fail at? They keep things too hot. I don't want to keep burning myself for the next hour. That's to me, it's like I kind of want that sweet spot of not super hot, but then not cold. And travel mugs just like, we're going to just burn you repeatedly and never cool down ever for the whole life of the tea that you want tea. Okay. On that lovely tangent, we're getting into the subject of this week's podcast, which is a very clever interpretation of survival of the fittest by me, survival or the fittest, survival or the fittest. Again, as I often do in this podcast, it's a mindset question. It's a philosophy question. It's an approach to living question. And it occurs to me that a lot of our lives in the modern world are dedicated to surviving, to getting through the day. I talked about this a little bit in the class that I taught today. A lot of what we do is just to try to get by. We're struggling to get by, and we may be getting by pretty well. Like we're not super sick, and we kind of go on the surface like we look like it's all good. Like it's fine. I go to work and I go to the bar afterwards and I have dinner and I go to bed. And then tomorrow, by the way, so totally something different. I get up and I go to work and then I go to the bar and then I have dinner and then I go to bed. And then, oh yeah, the next day I just do that thing all over the place. And then, but in 7 months, I'm going to take a 1 week vacation because that's going to shake things up in my life. But in general, we feel pretty good. I still think that's survival. In the modern world, that's to me the definition of surviving. We're surviving. We're getting by. But we're not stretching like I talked last week. We're not stepping outside of the circle. We're doing the very bare minimum for us to get by in the context of our own lives. And what the bare minimum is for each of us differs because of the context of our lives, because some people have families and some people don't. Some people have very busy jobs and some people don't. But there's a definite mindset associated with surviving. How you doing? Surviving. I'm surviving. We can do better for ourselves if we choose. We can become fit. We can focus on fitness. And I decided to look up the definition of fitness, and it's very interesting to me. There's three main definitions. One, condition of being physically fit and healthy. Okay, that's pretty obvious. Yeah, I'm physically fit. Second, an organism's ability to survive and reproduce in a particular environment. That's the sort of Darwinian survival of the fittest. It doesn't actually, by the way, it's a kind of like a mistake to think that it means like the strongest. It means the the species that are able to survive and reproduce, essentially. That's their level of fitness, and the species that are able to do that the best do the best. Human beings obviously have no problem reproducing. We're all good on there. Not like we're having population problems. Third, and I'm going to bold this in your brain because it's bolded on my piece of paper. Bold type in your brain. Command B, quality of being suitable. Excuse me. Here we go. Quality of being suitable to fulfill a particular role. Now there's my bold type. Quality of being suitable to fulfill a particular role. Now what we've done is we've moved from condition of physically fit and healthy, just physical, just kind of, you know, yeah, I'm physically fit. My ability to survive and reproduce, again, pretty animal, just pretty of the body. Then there's the quality of being suitable to fulfill a particular role. Now we're talking idea. Now we're talking concepts. Now we're talking brain power. And now we're talking questions of what role we want to play in our own lives. And are we fit enough to play those roles? Now we're questioning about what kind of role we want to play in the lives of our families and friends and coworkers. And are we fit enough to play that role? That's a question that takes us immediately out of the basic survival mode and into a more, let's just say, subtle crafting and tweaking of our lives to maintain an idea. When we talk about a particular role that's undefined, we define it for ourselves. We then have to step in as human beings with the brain and say, what is that particular role? Am I a leader, a role model? Am I a happy, healthy person in my mind, not body, in mind? Am I that person? Am I the manager of my department? Am I the parent to my child? And then if I am, and that's a particular role I see myself in, am I fit to play that role? Of course, the next step of that is to say, if I'm not, how can I be? And an acknowledgement that faking it ain't cutting it. Because there is stuff we know. And we know that on some level, when we see somebody who really looks like they got it all together, there's a certain sense that we have with some people that we go, I bet they don't have it all together. I think we know on some level when that's not the case. Again, small steppers don't fake it till we make it. We act. We start making it. We don't fake it till we don't put energy into faking what it looks like to be a healthy person. We actually start acting and doing the things that a healthy person might do. That's fulfilling a particular role. I am a healthy person, and so therefore, I'm going to become more fit in my life. I'm going to reach a higher level of fitness, not physical fitness, fitness, quality. I'm going to reach a higher quality level that makes me more suitable to fulfill the role of being a healthy person. I'm going to do the activities necessary, the action necessary to be somebody who eats healthy food. That is the small stepper's way. We don't go healthy food, I'm just going to fake it and go on a diet for 21 days. I'm actually going to start doing the things that I know an actual healthy person does, which is not follow diets, but incorporates healthy food into their lives in a real, real way, in an actual behavioral, long-term, sustainable way, so that then I can maintain that idea over time. I can be fulfilling that particular role forever, if I so choose. There's like the basic human animal that survives. It is very hard for the basic human animal who is programmed to survive and procreate to succeed in the modern world as that basic human animal. I believe that it is it's a necessity and absolutely necessary to have an idea of what lays above that. The basic human animal can get by. We know how to get by very well. We know that the cheapest food is going to sustain us. And it does. Let's face it, guys. It sustains us. It's not like we have a Twinkie and drop dead. It's not like we drink tap water. Other people go, tap water is fine. I've been drinking it for years. Okay, it doesn't kill you when you drink a glass of tap water. But can you maybe see if you test your water that there's quote unquote acceptable levels of crazy stuff that should never be in water in the first place? And just because somebody said it's acceptable levels, can you see that maybe over time that might build up and may have ill effects on your health? Maybe just because you drink it and don't die doesn't mean it's the best thing ever. We have a very, we can easily survive in the developed world. Okay, we're not starving. Most of us in the developed world, if you're listening to this podcast, there's a pretty good chance you're not starving to death. And because that's the case, it's a very nice draw that I can get by no problem. It's the cheapest and easiest thing for me to do. I can go fast food and I can live 50, 60, 70 years doing that. Not eating the best diet, barely exercising. There's people who smoke that live till they're 90. And they're getting by and they're surviving. And we look at them and go, that's an amazing feat of amazingness. That's what we'll say. We say it's an amazing feat of amazingness. That we're so out of our minds that we overuse the word amazing in one sentence, just like that. But a life of eating and sleeping and working, to me, is boring. And I don't think it's really what somebody would want if they knew what was better. Sort of grass is always greener kind of thing. If they could see the light of, and this isn't like, they're not enlightened, but if they just sort of get a taste of the more of life that is possible. That a life of chasing an idea is one of excitement and adventure. It is the passion of chasing an idea, even if you never get there. Even if you never are fit enough to actually fulfill the particular role that you see yourself in or the idea of who you truly are, even if you never get there, you're setting yourself up for a life of chasing that idea. And that is fun and vibrant and full and fulfilling and engaging and incredible. And then all of a sudden, success, just not that important. Not that important at all. I heard somebody say once, if you find something you love, either you should spend your life either chasing that thing or either succeeding at that thing or die trying. That was it. Either succeed at that thing that you love or die trying. That's just like, here's the idea of me. Here's the fitness that I want to achieve. I want to fulfill a particular role. And in my head, it is this, this, and this. That's how I see myself. I'm going to go after that thing. And I'm either going to get it for the most part, or I'm going to die trying. But either way, I'm engaged and I'm in it. I'm in it big time. And there's the payoff to that is absolutely, you can't even quantify it. It's so huge. The payoff to yourself of being excited by life and engaged, the payoff to the people in your life that are influenced by you because by virtue of the example that you set for them. There's no compare. It's incredible. It's not in the same arena as I eat, I sleep, I work, I pay my taxes. I'm a useful member of society. Freaking boring. And I think all things being equal, most people want more than that, but it's hard. And I get that it's hard. Trust me, I get that it's hard. Why would I come here for every 169 episodes if I was like, this is the easiest thing to do? It's not the easiest thing to do. You have to learn how to stay engaged. You just have to learn how to stay engaged. It is the difficulty of living in the modern world, but also the beauty of living in the modern world are these kinds of challenges that we can get on top of with actually not that much effort. It's surprising, but if you're a small stepper, you can start the engagement process with very, very little effort. And it is a huge payoff right from the beginning, just not in the way that, you know, diets are payoffs, but there's a payoff. There's a real feeling of accomplishment and a sense of fitness that occurs right out of the chute. It's amazing. All by doing just the simplest and not time, no, with barely any time constraints. I mean, we're talking minutes a day. You're feeling more fitness. You're reaching a higher quality in your life right out of the chute. And your physical manifestation of that will follow the longer you learn how to treat yourself well and use the small steps approach to achieve and to act. Then that becomes something that you do most days, and eventually down the line, your physical body gets stronger and more fit too, because it's an effect of your state of mind. Credible. Quality of being suitable to fulfill a particular role kicks you right on out of the basic, I just get by every day, and into the, what am I chasing here? What's the idea of my life that I'm chasing? And it is in the chasing, and it's less in the catching. And how great is that? Because the pressure's off. I don't have to achieve it. I got to chase it. I'm having fun chasing. When I chase, I engage. When I engage, I try new things. When I try new things, I get pleasure from the excitement and adventure. It's pretty great. It's fun. I'm talking about the royal eye, not just me. All right? All right, you guys. That's it for this week, episode 169. Next week, a nice round number. Everybody loves round numbers. Episode 170 coming to you next week. I'll be here. You know I will. Okay, I'm not so busy that I can't come here and spend an hour with you guys in your car. And by the way, thanks for driving me in your car. I appreciate it. If you could do me a favor and just lower the temperature a little bit. I'm sort of a cold therapy guy. So if you could bring it down to about negative 20 just until we get to the office. Oh, that's great. Thank you very much. But please do turn on the seat warmer. Oh, I just barely crawled to the finish of this episode. You email me at podcast@sidgarzahillman.com if you have any questions. Or want to give me an update on, because you know I love those. I love getting emails and you guys telling me where you're at in your practice. I freaking love it. Throw me an iTunes review or donate to my podcast, will you? It helps me, and hopefully it's because I help you. And if anything, just, you know, turn somebody else on to the podcast and subscribe. Okay. You guys are awesome. I'll see you next week, okay? Take care of yourselves. In the meantime, until I get back next week and sit at this desk and drink my goji tea, be well. This storm, the only way out is to run. The only way out is to buckle down. This storm, the only way out is to come on down. The only way out is to watch it pass through. If I ask too much of everything, the mystique is tied and paper thin. Tell me why this is happening. When our time is finally meaning something. This way, the way you shut down, it makes me scream. Your silence is unsettling. This storm, the only way out is the way in. I see the only way out is you out. I ask too much of everything. Your mystique is tied and paper thin. Tell me why this is happening. When our time is finally. Thin. Tell me why.
something.